Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the July 25th, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week participated in Tangerine SDR, been doing some work programming, and has been doing a little bit of experimenting with my Whisper setup, so that's about it. So next on the list, we have Greg ZL3IX. Go ahead, Greg, if you want to make a comment.
Yeah, I don't usually say anything. Just want to check my audio is all right. I haven't used it for a number of months. Is this okay?
Yes, good strong signal.
Okay, good, thanks. Yeah, I don't usually have a lot to say, but I've been working on a noise figure meter. I mentioned some months ago that I'd made a 1296 meg transverter to use with PowerSDR, of which my Hermes module is kind of the basis for the IF. But I needed to measure the noise figure, so I've been making a noise figure meter. I also mentioned on here some time ago that I was going to use a DS pick for that. But I bought an evaluation module, and it's very complex. Even the simplest ones are dual core, and I found that MP Lab has got a couple of funnies. Didn't work too well for me. So I went back and looked at slightly simpler devices, and I found that the 18F range, which is a little bit older, it's newer than the 16F, but the 18F range has got a hardware multiplier in it. It's got an 8x8 multiplier, so that's useful for doing the squares. And you can take a square of an integer in about 25-30 instructions, and that includes the accumulates as well. So I got the thing working using just an average power measure, turning the noise diode on and off manually, and turning the AGC off on PowerSDR, so that you could compare the noise output with the noise diode on and then off. And that worked okay. So I moved on to the next stage, which was to automate it and turn the diode on and off and do the on measurement and the off measurement automatically and do the calculation. But then I found that there's a 60 millisecond delay summed up through Hermes and PowerSDR in the channel. And that makes quite a significant error in the noise figure, totally unacceptable error. So I'm now in the process of taking account of that delay in the processing and not starting the accumulation of the measurements until after the delay is finished. So for a change, I have done something that has a little bit to do with HPSDR. That's about it.
Well, fine business, Greg. Sounds like an interesting project. Next on the list, we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, good morning, morning, afternoon, evening, all. And nice to hear from you, Greg. Trust all's well with you in New Zealand. Nothing much to report. I've been doing an awful lot of RF work this week, mainly related to my alternative to LoRa, which is going extremely well. So, yeah, a lot of radio work, a lot of digital signal processing, but unfortunately not related to OpenHPSDR. So I'm afraid that's my update for this week. But very interesting project, Greg, and thanks for giving us the update.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, folks. Yeah, pretty much same old here. Just swamped in work and not doing a lot of radio, but interesting to hear of your noise meter, and Greg, and I'll turn it back to you, Dave.
Okay, next on the list we have Bob, the E3 GKM, shown as recording and away, and that leaves us to the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
Yeah, hi Greg, with your noise diode, did you need to use a specific diode, or was it sort of a general purpose diode did the trick?
Yeah, I wondered whether somebody might ask me that. No. What I use to generate noise is a trick I learned probably a couple of decades ago, I think, where you take an RF transistor and you reverse bias the base emitter junction with a constant current source to the point where it's breaking down. And if you do that from constant current, so you don't blow the thing up, it makes a very stable and reliable noise source. It does need to be calibrated, and I'm lucky enough to have been able to borrow an HP noise diode from the old salt mine. I've retired now, but I've borrowed one from the old salt mine just to calibrate my own. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my second question. Thanks, Greg. Oh, very interesting. Yeah, I haven't actually done that before. I've used just for a noise source for a antenna bridge, just a Zener diode. I think 5.6 volts are fairly noisy, but I'm just wondering how you do it up in the microwave region. But that's very interesting. Thanks for the update.
Yeah, I'm using a BRF BFR 380. It's a kind of successor to the 92s and the etc. And it's got an FT way high, so it's a bit inconvenient to solder by hand. It's a tiny package, but I find if I use a microscope to do it, and I concentrate very hard and keep my fingers very steady, I can solder them.
Yes, I'm spending most of my hardware development under the microscope as well nowadays.
Right, so cheers everybody. 73 all.
73
Greg. So do you have a spiffy marketing name for your spiced up LoRa?
No, not at the moment, Bill, no.
Are you doing actual analog RF work or digital RF work?
It's a bit of both. The analog stuff, there's plenty of chips available that you can apply a modulation wave to. So apart from matching the little antenna, that's about it, but mostly it's digital now.
No, as you sort of expected that.
I'm doing a lot of work in with mesh networks, and that's a lot of fun. But keeping a track of the route that a device A makes to get to device Z is quite interesting, trying to keep the size of the file as small as possible. But anyway, getting there. But I haven't done I've done X25 packet for years and years, which I guess that was a sort of a mesh network, but I haven't done it with little low power devices before.
Okay. I guess by definition a packet may take different routes at different times.
Exactly, yeah. So you got a network of sensors, and ones the battery's failed in one, etc., then you've got to try and find another route back to the base station. But it's been an interesting process, and I didn't have to do this part of the code, fortunately, but we've got one of the colleagues has done a graphical display which shows the route each node is taking to get to the base, and the signal levels along each route, and the length of the distance between nodes reflects the strength of the signals. And if you go around and turn devices on and off, then the mesh network recalculates itself. Rather nice.
Sounds like fun.
Phil, did you watch any of the SDR Academy? There was a fellow there that was, the Germans have some sort of a ham net, and he was working on some efficiencies within the network that sounds very similar.
No, I haven't. I've got it on the list here to do, but it's getting rather longer by the day. Dave, but no, I haven't looked at those yet, but I'll pop them on the list for take some time out perhaps on Sunday and have a look at it. But thanks for that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were familiar with their ham net, but they were looking at one of the talks was about optimizing for people that are in difficult places. You may have a mountain in the way to the main next node or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what the what I'm working on, the mesh network. So yeah, I'll have a look. Thanks, Dave. And does that stand for Amateur Radio Emergency Distress Network or Data Network, Mike?
I didn't catch that.
Oh, there's a note down the bottom from Mike. Thank you.
Data Network, I think.
What band are you working on? Any particular band or multiple bands?
We got some support for 900 and 3 and 5 gig devices here, too.
Well, guys, with the silence, I think I'll take off. I'll say 73.
Okay, Dave. Have a good week.
Yep. Thanks, Dave. Have a good week, and catch you all next week. Bye-bye.